Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances. One, two,
three, four. Now, put your Tony transistor radios away. Sit up straight in your Jason recliner. You've never heard the footy like this. I'm saved. Hallelujah. This is Triple M NRL.
And it's lovely to have your company. It's a Saturday afternoon and we are talking footy, listening to some terrific music as well. I'm sitting beside Ryan Girdler, James Hooper and Brett Finch, who joins us with Wendell Saylor, not available today. Finchy, it's great to have you. We want to get to Finchy's experience in a little while with the NRL Legends game. I know you know a bit about it, Girds, so we'll get there a little bit later. So much to talk about this afternoon. We'll put some terrific things on the NRL stock market as well. Right now, though, the Roosters have again, gone back into premiership favouritism after their win last night. I'm not sure whether the performance last night deserves them to get there, but that's where they
sit. Didn't like it, Tane?
No. Look, I thought they were terrific and certainly much improved on their performance last week where they were very clunky. But they're one of those teams, when you look at that list of players, you're going to go, well, they're up top four, surely.
Yeah, I think any time you go down to Cronulla and you play the Sharks in the Shire, and you know that you're going to be in for a hell of a dogfight. So, look, their forward pack's been called into question over the opening month of the competition. People have suggested that perhaps, you know, it doesn't have the hard edge that it needs to be there when the whips are cracking come September. But I thought from what we saw last night, it was a really strong response to a bitterly disappointing game against the Warriors the week before.
Yeah, you take out probably the Dragons and the Warriors, the inconsistency in the teams right across the board has been quite evident, whether it's been new positional shifts, new coaches, new styles. Yeah. So I think for the first half, if you can just scrape through and just pick up these wins, they're the most important things. Like going to Shark Park, it's an awful place to play if you're in a way. It's terrible, especially on a night game. It's so hard to win down there. They're such a tough, scrappy team, determined team. They give you nothing, so... Robbo would be ecstatic just to take the 2 points. If you can bank as many 2 points for this first half of the year and then look to find some momentum in the back half coming in the finals, you'd just be happy to pick up the wins.
Was it your worst away venue, Shark Park?
Oh, every venue. Even my home venue was my worst away venue. So it was a shocker. I didn't enjoy that. Townsville wasn't too bad because I knew I had a night out, so I played pretty good up there.
It's always been a tough place to go when you're out of form.
Which was 14 years for me.
And you're low on confidence. And that's what the Roosters did. I mean, they got... we used to go into the season with a mindset always of early rounds. You pick up the 2 points by just doing the fundamentals right, you know, and not worrying about expansive style or doing anything, you know, too complicated. Keep that for sort of later on in the season when, you know, combinations and that came together. So that's what they did. They just completed over 80% last night for the first time this season. They'd made more errors than any other team. You know, this quality side going into this game had made more errors than any other team in the opening four rounds. So they had to address that because you're not going to win early rounds. So, I thought what they did last night was just so clinical against the Sharks. So I think for mine, taking nothing away from what the Roosters did, but the Sharks were flat last night. You just don't see them play like that against, you know, in a big game at Shark Park. And they just came out, and the Roosters, I think the Sharks kicked off and the Roosters just rolled through the middle and ended up putting an attacking kick in on like the first set. And straight away, I just thought to myself, well, the Sharks, you know, they've turned up and they certainly haven't reacted early.
Is that a mental issue or what do you put that down to?
Well, they played, obviously, the Storm last week, and I think sometimes it's hard to back up after that. And, that did take a lot out of them last week. But I just don't know where the Sharks are this year.
Good rep for the Roosters forwards. I know I criticised them a bit early in the year, especially against the Tigers. I thought their middles needed a bit more out of them, especially with a new halfback there. And, look, you know, they needed to set a bit more go forward. And I think they are a really good go down there. Anyone that can go down there and get the chocolates over that forward pack. It's just a tough, uncompromising forward pack, the Sharks. I thought Hargreaves, Napa, that was strong through the middle.
He's made a big call there in relation to, you just touched on Jared Weir-Hargreaves. He's starting him from the bench. That's a big call from Trent Robinson.
It is. It might be a bit like Campbell Gillard at Penrith. He occasionally starts off the bench, and he's their best forward. So you know how important you know that second wave of impact can be. So in a way, it could be compliment for Jared, or it could be a little, mate, we need a bit more kick up the bum. And I think he's delivered that. I thought he was great against Newcastle a few weeks ago, and he was good last night as well.
I think he's also a bit of a similar player to Napa, whereas Takiyaho is just, he's a weapon. He was outstanding last night. But he's got, I think he's just got a really big engine, and he gets through a lot of work, whereas those two big guys play a similar role. So if you're starting them together, you're sort of getting the same thing, whereas you put Takiyaho in, then you always have one of those big guys on at every part of the game, then it just evens the balance out a little more.
Most importantly, I know the Roosters spoke, you touched on it a minute ago, about completion rate. They banged on about that at Moore Park all for the last week. After that loss against the Warriors, that was the number one thing that they identified as the reason for their erratic form, and to be up over 80%, that'd be the highest that they've been for some time.
Gerge, you're right, especially early in the season. If you can just control the footy and defend well, you find a lot of the time the opposition will fall over in front of you. Yep. You know, you win the game, you know, without doing too much because of the errors and the other team, you know, so inconsistent. So
we learned a lesson. We got Johnny Langkame for his first season, like 2002, I think it was, and we'd, you know, got a coach and we'd done all this training in the off season, had all these set pieces, went out to play Parramatta, went into the season, you know, with people thinking, you know, we're probably a good final side. And just couldn't wait to get all these set pieces and moves on, and went out and got beat like 60-0 by Parramatta in round one, and just went, let's just shell that. We'll get back to that a little bit later on in the year.
Luke Keary missed the first couple of weeks, and he's been playing some really good footy. He caught up with Jamie Soward and the boys last night.
Yeah, I'm here with Luke Keary. Luke, obviously an impressed performance from last week. Tough place to play. You must be happy with the win.
Yeah, it was a bit better, mate. Obviously, we were really disappointed last week, so thought our middles did a really good job, and got a few tries on last tackle there, which was nice. So,
up to you, boys.
Yeah, Luke, congratulations, mate. Gee, a big focus this week. Seems like it was on your ball control. You know, you completed high and didn't make the same errors that you fell into last week.
Yeah, we actually didn't talk about it all week. I think it's a bit of a, mate, we've been awful at the start of the year, and we didn't talk about it this week.
Really?
I think we're up around 87 and half time. Not sure what we finished at, but...
Yeah, not that high, mate.
78 at the end. Yeah, 78.
Yeah, but not now that you're not talking about it, doesn't really matter.
Hang on, where did you pluck that figure out from, Luke?
Are they now at half time?
We kept the count, yeah. They just kept the count.
Luke, tell us what it's like to play next to a bloke like Boyd Cordner.
Oh, mate, he's unbelievable tonight. He's been a little bit disappointed in his efforts to start of the year. I thought, mate, I play next to him. I thought he's been fairly good every week, but tonight, he was awesome. He's awesome.
Your attack seemed to click into gear tonight, mate. So you and Cooper, obviously, each week getting a little bit better with those combinations.
Yeah, I thought we started good against Dogs and Knights, and then obviously last week we had a shocker, and then we started to get back to a bit better tonight. And Teddy chimed in a few times, which was nice. He'll keep getting better as the year goes on.
How do you get him more into? He seems to be always waiting for the play. Like, you know, you guys play a very structured game. How do you get him in to play some more footy?
Yeah, I think as the year goes on, he'll find his little spots where we come in. But I reckon the big boys, a few more offloads for him will help him out in that broken field. Obviously, he loves that stuff. But, he's just going to learn to play in that bit of structured way. But, yeah, he's going to get some combos there with some of those bigger boys. They'll know that they can offload to him and he'll be sniffing around the middle.
Yeah, there is Luke Keary after the Roosters beat the Sharks 28-10. Look at the Tyre Power scoreboard. Exclusively at Tyre Power, buy three, get one free on selected Kumho passenger and sports performance tyres. Next, we go into the hotel room exclusively where Brent Reed is covering the Commonwealth Games. Can't wait. That's next. It's been raining gold there for the Australians. World records, gold medals, every variety of medals. It's been like an Easter egg hunt. There's athletes running around picking them up and celebrating. It's been terrific, given that we've struggled a little bit in other sports nationally and internationally. To have so many wins is great, and to have this man, Brent Reed, reporting from the Gold Coast. He joins us now. G'day, Reedy.
Hello, gents.
Where are you reporting from? I understand you're not allowed to get into the venues, not allowed to talk to anybody. What's your story?
Yeah, I spent a lot of time reporting from my hotel room, which isn't bad. It's not a bad room, actually. But a lot of time watching on the TV and reporting from there. A couple of trips to the Athletes Village, a couple of trips to Shooters and Dreams, Melba's, that sort of stuff, you know.
Oh, brilliant. And how good has it been? Obviously, in the pool, there was great expectation on the Australian team
pool
to get the joy.
Yeah, and he also forgot to mention the crazy horse there too.
Finch, I knew you'd know it well.
They've performed well, though, under kind of a lot of pressure.
Yeah, I guess so. There's always a lot of expectation for Commonwealth Games will win a bucket load of medals, isn't there? Particularly in the swimming and the cycling, they've probably aimed up in those two arenas. So, you know, so far so good on that front. Obviously, athletics kicks off in a couple of days, and there's not as much expectation there. But hopefully, we pick up a few medals there, and the hockey and those sort of things that we normally go pretty good at. But obviously, the swimming and the cycling are the big events, and they've lived up to the billing so far.
Rudy, I've been up there a couple of times for the Grand Prix. Mm. Mm. Can you compare the atmosphere? Is it a similar sort of reaction up there? From
or is it more like schoolies?
Or is it just like schoolies?
You know what? Surprisingly, there's not a lot of people on the streets up here. I mean, I've been out and about a little bit down to Broadbeach, where the media centre is, and it's actually quite quiet on the streets. I mean, it's rated really well on television. They've sold a lot of tickets, but the atmosphere is pretty flat here, to be honest, when you're out and about. On the streets. I mean, I would imagine it's nothing like the Grand Prix or the Indy cars, whatever it is, because obviously that's on the streets, so there's people everywhere. But on the actual streets and around the, you know, there's a bar down the road actually that's extended its hours until 3 a.m., a hotel, and I've been in there a couple of times just late at night when you finish your work. Mm. And me and the blokes I work with, we're like the only people in there. It's quite strange.
So it's like a game at Homebush. There's no one there, but it rates well.
Exactly. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's bizarre. I mean, it actually feels when you're at a venue and you're just walking around the streets, it actually feels a little bit flat. So I'm not sure what it is, because as I said, they've sold a heap of tickets and it's rated really well. So it's just a bit bizarre.
Well, you're not doing their PR. You've painted a nice picture up there, Rudy.
Well, one of the things I guess would be great disappointment, Rudy, you talk about when they get inside the athletes on the track, expectations a little bit lower for the Australians, especially now that Sally Pearson's pulled out.
Yeah, look, she was one of the ones that was basically a formality. You would have thought to win a gold medal, and we don't have that many sort of, I guess, gold medal contenders on the track. So, yeah, obviously a lot of disappointment around Sally, and she was the captain of the team and sort of the figurehead of the games up here, because she's from up here, she lives up here. She was basically an ambassador and has been for 7 years or so of the Commonwealth Games. So for her to be ruled out was a real blow for them. But she's hovering around and hanging around, and she'll still do some stuff, but not having her on the track's a massive loss. I mean, that's a gold medal down the gurgler, basically.
Yeah, well, we're leading England. That's all that matters on the medal table. Any league news for us, Rudy?
A bit of news on Craig Bellamy, actually. I mean, he's got his 400th game today in New Zealand. And the Storm haven't been able to get into deep negotiations with him, because he's had a managerial dispute. And as part of that managerial dispute, he couldn't formally open up negotiations with the Storm, but it's my understanding that's now come to an end. There was a time frame in which he wasn't allowed to negotiate. I think it comes to an end around now. So I think next week you'll find the Melbourne Storm will sit down with Craig Bellamy and actually get into the nitty-gritty of that contract extension. And I reckon we could have something pretty quick there with Craig Bellamy, so that'll be a coach off the market.
Well, yeah, they definitely want to lock him up, because there was an interesting twist during the week, Rudy, when Lawrence Lancini, the Cowboys chairman, came out and basically, reading between the lines, that looked like an ultimatum to
what
me.
Would it be
it
worse?
Basically take it or
what would it be worse
it?
On the open market for someone like the Cowboys?
Bellyache, you'd have to be prepared to outlay more than $1 million,
wouldn't
you?
Easy, wouldn't you?
So, yeah. But you know the issue there, Hoops, right? Greeny, obviously the sticking point with Greeny is money, right? Well, Craig Bellamy is actually going to cost them more than Paul Greenwood, you would think. So, I mean, if money is the issue with Greeny, they're not going to be able to afford Craig Bellamy, because he's a $1.2 million coach, isn't he, on the open market. So, you know, they'll get a deal done in Melbourne. He's not going to go anywhere, particularly with, you know, obviously Cameron Smith. There's no certainty over Cameron Smith. We all expect him to play beyond this year, but he's off contract and he's going to take his time to make a decision. They can't afford to lose Craig Bellamy, and they won't lose him. He doesn't want to go anywhere, I don't think. And look, the Cowboys can't afford him. If they can't afford Paul Green, they can't afford Craig Bellamy.
Yeah, the question is does he not want to go anywhere else? It's whether he wants to keep coaching, I think.
I think a couple of years ago there was a talk that he lost a bit of his interest, to waned a little bit, and he's a bit frustrated. But look, he cleaned the place out. I think he's excited. From what you speak to people down there, and they say he's excited by the young guys coming through and regenerating that squad down there. So, you know, I don't think his interest has waned at all. I think he's quite enthusiastic, Craig, and I reckon he'll press on. I don't think there's an end date in sight for Craig Bellamy.
All right, Reedy, enjoy the cocktails by the pool this afternoon. As you cover the Commonwealth Games.
I'm going to head down the beach,
mate. It's good on you. There he is, Brent Reed, joining us right here on Saturday. Triple M NRL.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up.
The Triple M NRL stock market.
Now, Finchie, in this segment, basically I run a few things past you and you've got it, like the stock market, which I know you play. You have to buy, sell or hold. That's where we are at the moment. I'm going to start with Sam Burgess. He wasn't there last night as the Dragons got over the top of the Rabbitohs because he did appeal his charge of raising the elbow when he was carrying the ball and into the head. Josh Morris. So he's missed last night and he will miss next week. Where are you? Was that the right thing? I'll start with you, Gerds. Are you buying, selling, holding on the Sam Burgess decision?
I'm selling the judiciary and their decision, Tony. Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely selling it. This guy's got, you know, markers coming at him. He's jammed in a corner. He's doing a tough carry. And he's just, you know, put his arms up to protect himself. The ball was always above the elbow, which is an indicator for mine whether or not it's intentional. And I just believe that they got that decision so wrong, and potentially it's cost South Sydney 2 points because Semi plays there last night. He makes a big difference, and take nothing away from the Dragons' win, but big Tony Pulitou was on the committee as well, and there's guys that
have actually
played the game and know what it's like. So for those guys to be coming up with that decision, I'd be selling.
Selling
okay. Big.
Hoops.
We were having a laugh about it when Sammy Burgess decided to roll a dice and go down to headquarters. We framed a market. We said, look, he's $1.04. Actually, you know what? Betting suspended. He's going to get off. Like, we just thought, surely when you've got, as Gerds just touched on, retired champion players sitting there and looking at all the key indicators and all the facts, and we just thought that there was no way that he could be found guilty. So, everything's got to go, Tone. It's a fire sale.
Yeah, and plus, I think they killed him as well as his carryover points. It's...
Yeah,
I think at some stage they lose.
He was on. He was on, I think he copped 85 from like earlier in the round two or something like that. So he was basically
That hurts as well, doesn't it? But yeah, I didn't think he should have been suspended. Gerd, you hit the nail on the head. The elbow was lower than the ball. If you're and considering he was coming out, he started the carry inside his own in goal, and you got 12 blokes flying out of the line at you. You got to have a little bit of protection for yourself and. I thought it was a bit tough. Yeah.
Last week on the show, we had Brian Canavan. Now, he told us after the 33 penalties the night before that the referee's hard line was going to stick. It was going to keep going week after week until the players got it right, and that would lead to more attractive football at the back end of the season. 1 week's very different. Very different.
We're fast learners.
Exactly. Are you buying that the players are fast learners and have changed, or that the referees have, in fact, backed off?
Of course the referees have backed off. The problem with it is... They say the game's gone too far one way. Well, they let the officiating go like that the last 3 or 4, 5, 10 years, whatever it is, with the play of the balls. They let it get to that point. And then all of a sudden in 1 week we want to change it back to where it was 10 years ago. Well, that ain't going to work. And then a week later we're all perfect angels again. The players are back on deck. So
you're not buying?
I'm not buying at all. Plus I've got no money to buy it anyway. So.
Oops.
Oh, it is. It's hard to buy given the hardline stance that we heard from Brian Canavan last Saturday, and obviously we all saw that game down there at Shark Park and the game prior to that as well between the Bunnies and the Bulldogs. So, no, I'm not buying Tone.
Yeah, they've backed off Tone. I can't buy any of that.
You wouldn't buy.
Someone's made a phone call somewhere.
It was so obvious, you know, after that Friday night, those two Friday night games. Saturday we saw a little bit of an improvement, but by the Monday, I think there was 11 penalties given in that Tigers game and the Parramatta game. So you watch it, and when you go to the games, you actually have a better view. And you can just see that the players just, you know, they're no chance. Every ruck you could penalise, and they were doing that. And I think Chechen on that Friday night game or Saturday night game basically went, well, if this is what you want, this is what you're going to get. Here's 30 penalties. Because it just looked like the referees weren't enjoying it either. And that was a bit of an up yours, and they changed it, and now we're back to normal, and thank God, and we've seen some great footy since.
Indeed. All right, the other team, and we do this, we put the Warriors basically at the stock market every week, and because they're so changeable, it's terrific to watch their fortunes week by week. This year, though, they are, apart from St. George Illawarra, they currently stand as the only other team not to have been beaten after 4 rounds of the season. Where are you? You buying, selling, or holding on the Warriors 2018?
I'm buying, I think. I think they're a much improved team. I think the way they've won, they went to Perth round one and had a great win over there. They'd never won in Perth in however long, and it's such a, I guess, we're about 48 time zones to get out over there. So that's a great win. They come back and had a good win at home. Then they won against all odds in Canberra where they come back, which looked like a certain defeat. And then they had a great win against the Roosters without Sean Johnson. And Lino come in and was fantastic. So the way they're won is, as I'm buying, I'm not saying they can go all the way, but I definitely think they're a playoff team and they're huge improvers.
Hoops.
Yeah, I'm with Finchie. I think the composure that the Warriors have shown over the opening month of the competition, it's been something we've never experienced with them previously. I think their recruitment's been outstanding. Tohu Harris, Adam Blair and Blake Green. And yeah, I'm definitely I'm on board, Tone.
Warriors stocks at an all-time high, Tone. I've got to cash a few in.
Are you?
I've got to cash a few in.
Of course, you play this game so smart.
Yeah, look, I just think, you know, it's all happy days over there for the moment, and it might continue for the next couple of weeks, but for the long haul, I'm just not sure about the Warriors. And while their stocks are this high, I'm going to cash in and go on a little holiday.
Damn. I wish I
Where
had.
Are you going? Where are we off to?
I might go up to Maruchidor, Tone.
Really?
Yeah. Well,
can I get invited back and do his spot when he goes?
Yeah, of course you can.
Another invoice. Fantastic.
Cha-ching. I wish I had an imaginary.
Oh, Wendell will be back there, won't he? Oh, I don't know.
I wish there was an imaginary tally of these imaginary stocks that we've bought so I'd know how well you've played this game.
Yeah, don't you keep
a
tally?
No, I should have, really, shouldn't I? Well, you've got several bitcoins as well. That's all you've got. All right, there is your stock market. We're going to go play best of the best next on Saturday, Triple M NRL. All right, it's time for us to do Freddie Fittler's job for him. Why don't we turn our attention to State of Origin? I know it's early, but already people are talking about it. We are fifth round of the competition. And today we might just limit ourselves to the forward pack of the Blues. If you gentlemen between you can nut out who you think is looking likely, who Brad Fittler will be going, yep, a little pencil. Anybody in pen yet? Not sure. Perhaps the captain, Boyd Cordon, who played well last night after at his own admission saying he was a little bit down early in the season. Where are you going? I'll start with you, Hoops. What do you like?
I like Jake Trbojevic. I think provided he's fit, he'll be the 13 for sure. I like Regan Campbell-Gillard in the front row and most likely alongside Paul Vaughan. I like Boyd Cordner on the left edge. I like Tyson Frizzell on the right edge. I think Jack DeBellin has to be on the bench. David Clem is an incumbent. I think he's done enough and shown enough for Australia and also for New South Wales previously that he suits that style of representative footy. And then, yeah, there's a fair few positions open from there, I think.
So Aaron Woods doesn't get a...
I think at this stage, Aaron would probably, by his own admission, say that his form's slightly down. And I don't know. I wouldn't have him as a lock at this stage.
And we know that Andrew Fifita, he's said he's not going to be available. Jordan McLean's injuries as well. Does that clear anything up for you, Gerds?
I think Wade Graham's probably got to push his way in there somewhere, which is going to be the hard thing. I think someone like Josh Jackson might struggle this year to get a jersey, which, you know, we all love the way that he plays.
He's working his guts out for the Bulldogs.
He certainly is, but we've just got such a wealth of back rowers at the moment.
Yeah, that's the problem, isn't it? You think Cordner's a definite lock, being the captain.
He's locked in. Frizzell's got to be in there.
Well, Frizzell, then there's Trbojevic, then there's Graham and DeBellin. So you're not going to carry two back rowers on the bench.
No.
So one of them has to – you could carry one back row on the bench. Mm. You're not going to carry two. So one of them would miss out, you'd think.
It depends on what Freddie wants to do as well. I mean, Jack DeBellin off the bench. I mean, does he bring a lot of impact? He might be a guy you could, you know, you could start in the front row. He could be – because he's a toiler and he's so good defensively. And we got a fair bit of size, especially if we're going to have some, you know, we're going to have some big wingers. And if we've got Mansour and Ferguson, guys bringing the ball back out of trouble, it takes a bit of the load away from the forward pack. So you might be able to go then with a more, Freddie might want to go with a more creative pack, which is like DeBellin and Trbojevic and those guys, and then bring Clemmer on off the bench, you know, after 20 minutes. The good thing for Freddie is he's got so many bloody options for that forward pack. No one's mentioned the nine. I think that's going to be the key. And the good thing is for New South Wales, Danny Bedeiras, probably our best ever hooker.
Is he available?
He's making a comeback.
Is this a good thing for New South Wales?
He's the assistant coach. So I'd say that he's, you know, that's going to carry a fair bit of weight, old Bedsy. And there's
it
some
looks
combinations
like he could play
too.
At the moment.
Oh, he could. There's some combinations that you think about club level, like, you know, who, you know, I know we're not talking about the backs, but, you know, Tommy Trbojevic, you'd have to say he's in the best form fullback running around at the moment. Do you play, you know, the combination of him and Jake at 13, which is just such a good one. And then does that bring Appy Coruscant into the discussion and give him a little bit of a head start because those three play together every week at club level?
Does he for you?
Yeah. Oh, look, it depends on what Freddie's going to do. But that would be my three. Yeah, look, you know, James Tedesco, how do you not have him in your side? But do you get the same results out of playing Tommy on the wing or playing him in the centres? I don't think in the centres he's going to get enough football. On the wing, he doesn't play there enough. And I think he's in form. If you're going to pick it on form, he's got to be your number one in my book.
Mm. What about the number nine for you, Finchie?
Yeah, McGuinness to it. I think he'll throw his hat in the ring at St George, especially if they continue, the Dragons, they continue their form. It's a real sticking point in that it always has been our spine. I agree with you, Gerds. If it's on form, I'd have the Manly number one at the moment. I think he's the form fullback of the competition, Trbojevic, and has such a great combination with his brother, who I'd definitely have in the side. So I think it'll come down to Coruscant. I think Pete's is still probably not playing his best footy, but, you know, what's it till Origin? Still another 6 or 7 weeks to get back into form. And McGuinness from St George, I think Cameron McGuinness, he's been fantastic to start of the season. So
Damien Cook.
Yeah, he's a different sort of hooker again, isn't he? He's more of a running hooker. I've seen some stats the other day where certainly he's the best with running the footy in the meters, where Cameron McGuinness, I think he's made two errors and missed two tackles or something all year, which is, I missed two tackles before I got out on the field. So that's a fantastic effort. So it depends where you're going. Coruscant, Trent Barrett's got a massive rap on him, and I've got high respect for, you know, Baz and what he thinks. He's been fantastic for Manly as well.
Just flipping it, I know this is a question without notice and going on to the Maroon side of things, and just specifically, I mean, Daly Cherry-Evans has been playing great footy, yet you see Ben Hunt there who made his debut for a very brief appearance last year, but he's just playing such great footy. You think he's got to be in the seven, don't you?
You think so? He came off the bench there in the... They're always a bit different, the Maroons. They had Morgan was... probably one of the best halves last year.
Yep.
Over the season, he played centre the last game. So they always seem to do it different and get blokes, you know, delivering in the big moments. So you think with Hunt being a part of that final squad, you know, the game three squad, that he'd be pretty hard pressed to miss out on a Guernsey this year in the 17 anyway. Hoops
on form at the moment. He's got to be a seven, doesn't he? Because he's got so
who's
much.
5'8" Munster? Munster?
Personally, yeah, I would be going Munster. I heard Kevvy Walters a couple of weeks ago said that he was going to go the way that.
Morgan Munster?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So, you know, we know that historically Queensland love to.
Well, they pick and stick until they lose, and then they change everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's hope it's one of those changing years, shouldn't we? We're going to get the questions that you have for Brett Finch next on Triple M. Brett Finch joining us. Big Del not available. He's on some kind of junket, we think, in Hong Kong. Not sure exactly where he is. Where we got the last phone call from. It's an airport lounge somewhere.
Tony, how many games do the Dragons need to win before you actually going to turn up and watch your team this year?
I watch them every game.
Are you going to go to one of their games?
Of
take your
I'll
family down there? When?
Yeah, well, I was going. Well,
what
are
they
got
to be like? Eight? No.
No, look, well, I think basically they should stop the competition right now. I think Kerry O'Keefe said this the other night. It would be a good idea. And just play the grand final between the Dragons and the Warriors on Anzac Day.
This is what happened for you last year, Tony. I remember you didn't get any of their games for the first 11 or 12 weeks, and then they started losing.
Yeah.
And then you definitely don't go to their games.
He doesn't even watch them when they start to lose.
I do watch. I record all of them. And then I usually just watch while we've got the ball, then I can't watch. And I flick over until when we get the ball back. I can't bear to watch them getting beaten.
Defense is 50% of the game, Tony.
In every other game, I'm happy to watch it. Mm.
It was about 80% of the game for the back end of the Dragons season.
that's absolutely right. All right, Finchie, we'll get out there. We've got some questions for you that people have sent in with our hashtag AskFinchie. The first guy, I don't know, Willie Mason. The question comes from Willie Mason. I like this.
Uh-oh.
ask him if he remembers where we were before I had to do my first promo for the Roosters in 2008.
Yeah, I remember.
Vaguely or clearly?
No, very clearly.
Where were you, Finchie?
I'm not telling you. Not on air anyway. Come on, Mace. Give me a break.
Mace, his teeth looking terrific on telly, by the way.
Yeah, he's got
that's where we're at. We're at the dentist, man. Mace.
Exactly. It might have taken that long, too, to do that job on Mace.
Absolutely, because they had to put the whole piano keyboard in. All right, Dana, Finchie. Which club out of all 16 that you played for did you like the best?
Well, Dana, I'd like to correct you first. When I played, there was 20 teams, so it was all 20 back then. It's been a few fold since I played for them. Probably the I really enjoyed every club. All clubs are great. Obviously, the clubs I had a bit more success out of the ones I've got the fondest memory. So early years Roosters were great. And then my time in Melbourne was probably the most fondest I had. Really enjoyed my time down there. And I virtually just showed up for the games. I didn't really do much, which is good. And we won. So, and I could go out and drink in a town where no one knew who you were.
But it's interesting that, Finchie, you see, when we talked last night, Jason Nightingale playing his 250th game for the Dragons. Can't imagine him playing anywhere else, in his own words. And there's a lot of, you know, credit to that. But there is a positive about a guy who does play for a lot of different clubs in terms of your experience.
Well, Tone, I couldn't imagine playing anywhere else as well. But when you get called in, the chief executive says you're sacked, you start imagining pretty quickly. You imagine anyone who'll give you a start, so... It's not by choice I wanted to play for 12 teams. I certainly would wanted to stay at the Roosters for as long as I could.
Who did it the best? Like, which chief executive gave you the news the best?
Well, you know, I was pretty good too. A couple of them I knew the writing was on the wall, so I said, I'm out of here. I'm not sticking around for this rubbish. Which the rubbish was my playing and form at that time. And so I seen the writing on the wall a couple of times, but... Probably the Roosters was a good one. Just, mate, we best advise you can look around if you want. So, virtually means piss off, we've had enough.
Yeah, that's right. We won't stand in your way. Yeah. Mark Hall asks, hey, guys, we'd love to hear his memories and celebrations of his match-winning field goal in opening Origin game 2006.
Thanks, Mark. I've actually got DVDs. I brought them in for you boys. I'd love to give them out. So, anyone like to send in, I'll send them out to you guys. Yeah. What a great man. Well, the memory was I was hungover when I played. That was true. I was dusty off a couple of days, which I ended up playing my best game. Game two, I didn't drink for 2 weeks leading up to it and had a shocker. We got flogged and I never played again. So, I remember we went out that night. It was fantastic. I ended up turning up the next day to Roosters training in my Origin tracksuit. I was pretty happy with myself. So, it was a good night. We ended up in the cross and had a celebrated 1-0 up and we thought, here we go. We're New South Wales, we're on fire. We've got the series covered and Queensland ended up winning the next 10 years in a row. So I set a pretty good standard there for the boys.
Todd asks, what was it like to play against former teammates in the 09 grand final against Parramatta after starting the season with them?
It was good because we ended up winning the game. It wouldn't have been so great, but... No, it was a bit different. Like most things, I've got a unique way of doing things, and I think I'm the only person to play with both teams in the same year in that grand final. And the positive was not only I got the losing bonus because I was still on Parramatta's books, I got the winning bonus as well from Melbourne. So it was a win-win situation. So it was a terrific year for me. I won the grand final, then lost the grand final, and won it again because of Melbourne, but then we got the salary cap taken away, so we lost it, and then if they give it to Parramatta, I win it anyway. So that probably explains why I got so many issues. But
who are you?
Exactly.
Did you get any tattoos done on any of those?
No, I didn't, mate. When you got a body that's that pasty, the next shade's invisible. Purple ink doesn't look too good on it, so...
And finally, there seems to be a lot of pressure and expectation. This comes from Daniel Watson-Hayes. On young Storm half Brody Croft, what would be your advice to the new Melbourne number 7? How did you handle the pressure of first grade when first, and I quote, bursting onto the scene?
I think the best advice I give Brody is probably not trying to have a play's hand. He looks like he's trying to be Cooper Cronk, or trying to do what Cooper did, where it took a long time for Cooper to get to that position and a lot of hard work. So he's got a lot of good players around him. I just look to keep it as simple as possible and really be as enthusiastic as possible and play tough. I think that's with your teammates. So if you try and defend, you know, you're not going to make every tackle as a halfback, but if you're willing to get in there and play tough, your teammates will back you up and stick by you. So probably try not to overplay it for Brody. And if he keeps working hard, you know, that's the greatest tip Cooper, or greatest example Cooper ever set was he was just extremely hard working, even after he achieved it all. So if you keep working hard, eventually you'll come out the other end.
Ask Finchie, that segment worked brilliantly. Thank you so much, mate. Back shortly after this.